Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, January 16th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We hope you had a good weekend. It's great to be back here. We got a lot of feedback about a lot of different things over the weekend, different articles and so forth. So we're going to go over all that stuff on tomorrow's show. But today, we have Mr. Mark Glenn, who's certainly one of our favorite people out there in the whole world. He's the author of this book here, not in my words, but theirs. Also, the fantastic book, No Beauty and the Beast. And this won the Wing TV 2005 Award for Cover of the Year.
That's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can find this book if you go to the Wing TV homepage, hit the bookstore section, and it links directly to Mark's site. And last but not least, in the January 2 and 9 edition of the American Free Press, look at this, a whole page ad, or whole page review of Mark Glenn's book by none other than Michael Collins Piper.
And he's correct when he describes Mark's writing as eloquent and elegant.
Yeah.
But he's also fiery, too.
That's
right. We love that about him.
And if Michael Collins Piper reviews the American Free Press, it's like going to Yankee Stadium.
You're there, baby.
Yeah, and you hit one out of the ballpark. So that's the major leagues there. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Mark Glenn to Wing TV. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Mark.
Fine, guys, but you're going to have to tone down the praise a little bit. My head's going to get even bigger than it already is.
Well, we mean every word of it, and the Piper review was fantastic, and, you know, it's just, you're doing some good work, and we understand you have another book coming out. So real quick, tell people how they can find your website.
You can go to my website. It's just set up for my books, and it's at www.notmywords.com.
Okay.
Although I do have another website that I am building that's found at crescentandcross.com, and it's going to be a place for publishing information such as what you guys put out, but in the interest of discussing what is really going on in the Middle East, and in particular an exposition of what really encompasses the religion of Islam and the religion of Judaism, because they've been completely misrepresented today.
Well, very good. Well, we were talking last week, Mark, on the phone, and I made a comment and I said there seems to be now, more than at any other time that I can remember in my life, more resentment, more suspicion, more investigation, and even outright accusations against the nation of Israel and also Zionism than I can ever remember in my life. What do you attribute that to?
Well, what I attribute it to is that the sheep are remembering what their programming is. Okay, the sheep and the wolves can never be friends. Okay? Zionism as an extension, a political extension of Judaism as a religion, can never coexist peacefully with other religions in the world. And so what is happening now is that we are seeing what the end result of this takes place when these principles are put into political effect. And so with the war that is going on, with the bloodbath that is impossible now to hide, people are seeing the sheep are beginning to, this program is beginning to reawaken in them, that there really are wolves out there that they need to be wary of, and today these wolves exist in the followers of Zionism.
Yeah, that's true.
Mark, we've seen Ariel Sharon quite a bit in the news lately, and every time we hear a report, we see this solemn, just sad, expressive reporter telling us how Ariel Sharon's condition is and so forth. Well, recently a Canadian friend sent me this email, and it's about a book, a biography of Ariel Sharon. And Sharon is pictured not as the soldier politician on the battlefield or in government office, but he's portrayed in this thick wool sweater holding a lamb and with a quotation, the shepherd.
Oh, God.
Okay, now comment on that, will you?
Well, okay, I mean, the fact that we should even be having a discussion this day and age where you have the preponderance of the Christian world embracing this man, calling him a man of peace, praying for his recovery, lamenting over him possibly not being the leader of Israel, the fact that we should even have a discussion such as this today speaks volumes about the problems that are afflicting the Christian world. This man is a vampire.
He's a butcher.
He is bloodthirsty. And the fact that you have, like I said, a good number of Christians embracing this man who, you know, I mean, I was having a conversation the other day after listening to some of the remarks that Robertson and some of the others had made about Ariel Sharon. And the way that if you turn on any radio broadcast today that is dedicated to discussing Christianity or whatever, you hear all of these pastors, these wolves in sheep's clothing, lamenting what had happened to Ariel Sharon. And yet, if they actually bother to read the Bible that they spend so much time quoting from, and in particular the book of Revelations, because in that book you have a description of the end times, and you have a description of this beast that's going to be taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the descriptions that's given of this beast is that he seemed to have received a fatal wound to the head and yet lived. Now, interestingly, I don't base any of this, I don't use any of this to base my understanding about whether or not Ariel Sharon is an evil man. But the fact that these Christian Zionists will take the most minute examples of things that have been written in the Bible and stretch them out to ridiculous ends, and yet they miss something like this that apparently is such an obvious fulfillment of something that was prophesied, just goes to speak about the times in which we live and how misguided Christianity is.
That's right. Well, I don't want to get into a debate right now or a discussion about the Holocaust, but we know that over the last few months there's been quite a few individuals who've been arrested, detained, deported. And my question to you, Margaret, well, all they really were doing was questioning or investigating the Holocaust. I'm asking you right now, are people allowed in this day and age to still ask questions about the Holocaust?
Well, you know, in the latest piece that I just wrote, Six Simple Words, I reference this in the fact that this is one of the things that you are not allowed to do. You're allowed to criticize or question just about anything, but you're not allowed to question the Holocaust or anything having to do with the Jewish agenda. The fact of the matter is that if people bother to read some of the material that's out there, even material that, by the way, has been spoken and written about by the Jews themselves.
That's right.
There was a video that was done a few years ago by a man named David Cole, where he actually went to Auschwitz and some of these other camps, and he proved, as a Jew, proved that the story that has been told about the Holocaust has been greatly exaggerated for political gain.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how often do you hear people talking about him? So, no, it is something, you know, and this is one of the things that I reference in my book, No Beauty and the Beast, which is this whole idea of bearing this mark of the beast, you know, that if you don't bear this mark of the beast, you're not going to work, you're not going to eat, you're not going to have any security in your life. This is part of that mark. If you do not walk lockstep with the Jewish agenda, then you will be shut out of the system, or worse, mm-hmm. as we're seeing with people such as Irving and Zundel and the others,
uh-huh.
you could be imprisoned or killed.
I'm so glad you brought up Six Simple Words. I read that, and I think it's beautiful and impassioned. You talk about the poisoning of the wellspring of humanity by six simple words that people may not even realize have such widespread and apocalyptic implications. Tell everybody what the six simple words are and what you mean.
In simple, these six simple words, when we look at the state of the world today, and when we look at the war in the Middle East and all of the suffering, and it's not just the war, too. We have to remember that most of the world's economies are precariously balanced and could literally, I mean, it's like a body that's on a life support system. All it needs is for somebody to come along and pull the plug. When we look at the root cause of all of these things that have thrust the world into so much chaos today, what it all boils down to are six simple words. And those six simple words are, we alone are the chosen people.
Hmm.
These six simple words that encompass this mentality that there is one group of people that surpasses all other human beings in terms of importance, intelligence, and favoritism in the eyes of God. It's this ideology that is responsible for having turned this revolution of the last 2,000 years, known as Christendom, of having turned it upside down.
Hmm.
And as I've said before, the fact that you have so many Christians today, where the preponderance of economic, political, and military power resides, the fact that you have such a high number of these people embracing this idea that there is actually one group of people that are God's chosen people and that they're better than everybody else, even though this flies in complete contradiction mm-hmm. to the message of Jesus, who said all men and women are chosen.
That's right. Now, a lot of sites out there in the alternative media say, well, you know, it's all right to criticize Zionism,
mm-hmm.
but we can't criticize Judaism. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, at a certain time in my life, I could have embraced that idea. But as with all things, when you study all disciplines that you study, you find out that there is more to it than what simply rests on the surface. And to those who make the argument that there is this great difference between Judaism and Zionism, I say no. Were there no such thing as Judaism, there would be no such thing as Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
Judaism is as intrinsically linked to Zionism as cigarettes are to lung cancer. You cannot have one without the other. When you look at Zionism, there is nothing about it, other than the fact that it is employed within the political realm.
Right.
There's nothing about it that runs counter to Judaism. The fact that you may have men out there dressing in black garb and protesting against the Zionist state, you know, saying that it is contrary to the principles of Judaism, this is not true. Because if you do a study of what Judaism is, you will see that there's nothing philosophically where the two run counter to each other.
That's
I believe
right.
that what you're seeing here is a power struggle between the two groups. Israel Shahak did a very good job of discussing this phenomenon in his book entitled Jewish Fundamentalism in Israel. And he basically says the same thing. He said that these demonstrations on the part of Orthodox Jews against the state of Israel and against Zionism, that it's not... they're not philosophically opposed to each other. What you have is one group of people standing up and protesting basically because they do not have the power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're not the ones sitting in power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reject that notion that there is something intrinsically different about the two. But to go a step further than that, that does not mean that there are people who, within whatever context you want to call them, who call themselves Jews, that they are disingenuous. Okay, I happen to know a few people who, in whatever context, consider themselves to be Jews, and they are genuinely opposed to Zionism. But the problem is that it's only because of the fact that they do not really know the real nature of this religion that they presume to embrace that they can make this.
Mark, we've been told since 9/11 that the people of the Middle East are our true enemies. They're the terrorists of the world. And Americans, despite a healthy skepticism and mistrust of the government, which many people have, widely accepted this crap. But you say that it's the loss of morals and decency that ranks at the top of the list of dangers which threaten the existence of America. Tell everybody what you mean by that.
Well, okay. When we talk about this, militant Islam, you know, people need to ask the question, all right, our nation has been in existence for over 200 years. Why is it that in the last 10 years, all of a sudden, we've got this new enemy, even though these people have been over there for the last 1,400 years?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so the answer to the question that we have to answer is, what is it that precipitated this clash of civilizations? And it is not that there is this organic enmity that exists between Christianity and Islam, because there is no such thing. There is no enmity between them. It is because the West, and in particular America, has become this bastion of immorality. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV or the radio on any given day to see what has become of this quote-unquote Christian country. The people of the Middle East, and by that it's not by that I don't mean just the Muslims, because the Christians over there feel the same way. They don't want this rot infecting their countries. They have seen what has happened to America. They have seen what has happened to the countries of Europe, and they don't want this to destroy their countries as well.
To become Westernized,
so this is why
basically.
You see this resurgence of quote unquote militant Islam. It's just the body's immunological system raising a fever, so to speak, to keep these viruses from destroying the whole system.
That's a very good way of looking at it. Now, a couple of nights ago, we were watching a video, and it was about someone that was exposing Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reading some quotes from the Satanic Bible that are so vile. They were about Jesus Christ. They were so vile that I'm not even going to repeat them or go into them right now. But as he was repeating these phrases, they were eerily similar to the things that are in the Jewish Talmud that they say about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't know what the Talmud contains, very briefly inform them what they say about Jesus.
Well, first of all, what we have to remember is that the Talmud, the 6,000 pages of the Talmud, a good one-third of that, 2,000 pages of it, is dedicated to some type of anti-Christian or anti-Gentile slander.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jesus in particular the characters that are listed, not just in the Talmud, but in the Zohar and in the Kabbalah and some of the other mystical Jewish writings. He is the one who receives the bulk of the most vicious vitriolic language that can be used. He's said to be a sorcerer. He's said to be the product of a bastard. He's a bastard. He's the product of an illicit union between his mother, who was a hooker, and a Roman soldier known as Pantera. They say that he was conceived while his mother was menstruating, and they say that right now because he opposed the rabbis, that he is suffering by being boiled in hot a mixture of hot excrement and semen in hell.
That's incredible.
And so this is, you know, as much as they may holler and scream about this, anybody who has done a substantive study of the Talmud can tell you firsthand. And incidentally, we have many good references on this from Jews themselves, Israel Shahak and a few Israel Shamir, who have come out and frankly described what exists within the pages of this abomination.
That's what it
Mark,
is, too.
There are a lot of people in the independent media that talk about the New World Order in the context that it's some kind of vague entity. They never give specifics, and they never talk about Zionism and the role of Israel in the whole scheme of things. Why do you think there's this reticence, this reluctance, and avoidance to talk about this stuff?
Well, it's no mystery to those who pay attention. You can talk about Zion, or you can talk about the New World Order and all the rest of that stuff, but as soon as you step into that dangerous territory of criticizing God's chosen people, well, now you have just gone too far. And by the way, I'd like to take this opportunity to let the listeners know that this is something that you need to be careful of. Just because there are people out there in the alternative media who claim to be out there to bring the truth, if they don't touch on this subject, then you have got to be suspicious
of
them.
That's exactly
right. Big flag, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like somebody who wants to expose the inner workings of a crime syndicate in a given city, but yet he won't mention the mafia. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He'll talk about the pickpocketers, he'll talk about the drunk drivers, all of that, but he will not come out and mention the mafia, even though they are the bulk of the problem. And so, for all of those out there, and I won't name any names, I think we know, we have a good idea of who we're talking about here. There are people out there who simply will not touch the subject, and we can surmise our own reasons as to why, but at the same time, we need to do what Christ said, which is, you know, be as wise as serpents. You need to be shrewd when you're getting your information. Okay, having said that, why they will not touch it, there are several reasons. I mean, you're dealing with a very dangerous entity here. This entity can put you out of business, literally or figuratively speaking. He can throw you into jail, he can bankrupt you, or he can put a bullet in your head and get away with it. You're talking about an entity here that was responsible for putting to death the Son of God and has yet to pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we take this into account, you know, you have people out there who are understandably nervous about taking this on.
Or it can even go further, Mark, that they're just not allowed to, that they're controlled, and they want people to think about the New World Order, but they don't want to see one of the main root causes of this New World
Controlled
Order.
Controlled opposition.
Yeah, controlled
That's
opposition.
Right. That's exactly right. It's like going to the doctor and saying, "Doc, I feel terrible." And he says, "Okay, well, you need to eat better and you need to exercise." But he doesn't tell you that the reason that you've got lung cancer is because you're smoking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now anybody out there who is in the information business and who is not providing you with the real information that you need in order to solve these problems, you need to be suspicious of them and ask yourself, why are they so interested in hiding this truth from you?
Very good.
Why are they slanting the information?
Yeah. Now, Mark, I listen to a lot of mainstream radio in the morning, everything from, you know, the right, on the right, the conservative, to the left,
mm-hmm.
and I was listening to NPR for a couple more minutes, and you would think the left wouldn't really promote something like this, but they made a statement. They said that Israel is allowed to have nuclear weapons because they're a democracy, and they can be trusted with these weapons.
By whom?
How much faith do you put in that statement?
Well, obviously, they, you know, everybody is on the war path right now because of Iran.
Yep.
And so they're going to say these kinds of things because they have got to put they've got to keep this image out there that these quote-unquote backwards, fanatical Islamic countries cannot be trusted to have nuclear weapons, that only the fanatical backwards Zionists can be trusted Russia to have these nuclear weapons, even though they themselves have come out and told the world that they would nuke the world if they didn't get what they wanted.
Israel's really working overtime trying to get the United States to attack Iran. If we do, that's akin to suicide, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, because we have got other things to worry about now besides simply Iran. The Russians, I know that there are mixed signals right now, but the Russians have a vested interest in seeing that nothing happens to the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, it's a lot more complicated. This is not going to be the same type of situation of us going into Iraq.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Mark, real quick, before we go, the name of his book is No Beauty in the Beast. His review by Michael Collins Piper is on the Wing TV homepage. Mark's site can be found at www.notmywords.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
And before we go out, one last question. You mentioned Iran. We have Ahmadinejad over there. We have the introduction of the Iranian bourse this spring in March. What are your closing thoughts on America? Are we going to war? Is Iran going to keep pushing forward? And how much of an instigator is Israel going to play in this whole scenario?
The future of the West as a civilization.
Yeah.
Well, Israel has been instigating this for a good year. If you read the press reports from AIPAC to a lot of the Jewish papers, they've been pushing this for a long time. If Bush does not cave in and give them what they want, you're going to see all kinds of scandals erupting. I think that that is the reason why we saw this thing erupting over this spying scandal and over the Jack Abramoff situation. I think that they're putting the pressure on Bush. They're saying, unless you want to go to jail and have a bunch of new friends, you are going to cooperate. And so I don't know what is going to happen. I think that the wild card here is Russia, whether or not Russia is going to formally back Iran and offer its protection even as a proxy state. That's the wild card. I don't know. But at the same time, one thing that we do know for sure is that Israel is a mad dog. And if she doesn't get her way by being able to push people like Bush and the Americans mm-hmm. into doing it, then she'll find something else. I mean, you have to understand that there's no limit to where these people will not go.
Yeah. It's no beauty in the beast. And you know, Lisa, whenever I need to know something or I want to, have questions or just discuss the world, there's three or four or five people I go to. Mark's one of mm-hmm. them. And not only is he as bright as he can be, but just a hell of a nice guy too, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, Mark, every time we talk to you, we learn so much more and we just get a deeper perspective on these issues.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, guys, listen, you have got to understand, that book that you're bragging so much about right now, it wouldn't be possible were it not for people like you and Piper and Hisham Talawi of the mm-hmm. Current Issues. I mean, we're all working together on this. And so, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time that you're patting me on the back, I think that you need to pat yourselves on the back as well.
Well, Mark, thanks for coming on today. Speaking of Hisham, we're going to be on his show. Lisa, myself, and Michael Collins Piper on Thursday. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be on Frank Whalen's show. Tomorrow night, we're going to be on with Sam and Trish Britton.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday with
Gianni Hayes.
You
never can remember.
I know. And on Thursday, Hisham Talawi's show. So, Mark, thanks again. Keep up the great work. Whenever you have any new articles, fire them our way because they got a home here for sure.
And warm regards to your family, too.
That's
all
right.
God bless, guys.
Take care.
Same
talk
here.
Soon. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be on Frank Whalen's show tomorrow morning. We'll be back here to talk about everything that's gone on over the weekend. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.